is tape number 9 of a 16-tape series, the topic of which is humility. The messages were given by Pastor Grace Chang in Mandarin Chinese. In this tape, Pastor Chang's message is preceded by a testimony shared by Brother Xiaoyang. Here is Xiaoyang's testimony. I came from mainland China and I just attained my PhD degree in Harvard. After that, I went to West Coast to continue my postdoctorate research work. And normally that lasts for only 1 year. So maybe half a year into it, I started to send my resumes to these well-known institutions, these research centers, all that. I was pretty confident and self-assured because I had a pretty good, well-known boss, and I came from good schools. I just had quite a few articles in the magazines around the country. But after I sent my resumes, I didn't hear a thing. I didn't get any responses from these institutions. So I just started to wonder what happened. But then I realized that God wanted me to learn this lesson of humility. I remember this story in the Bible, which is the story of Gideon. And when God wanted Gideon to lead his army to fight an enemy, he did not give him a big army. He only gave him 300 people, 300 foot soldiers. So when they won the battle, it's not because of their power, but victory belongs to God. And I thought, okay, this is the lesson God wanted me to learn. But how? How do I get the learning process started? And my wife and by incident, and my wife just got hold of a series of tapes by Pastor Chang. And she heard these tapes, she was hooked in. And she started to not only to pray on a daily basis, she started to praise the Lord, opened her mouth to praise the Lord. And right after she started doing that, the very first day, that night we received a phone call from a company. They wanted me to go there for an interview. We were so shocked and so surprised. So that night we said, let's pray together again for our job. So that night, the two of us, we praised our God, we sang songs, and the very next day we received another call, which is from a second company. They wanted me to go for an interview also. So we were really thrilled. We were really amazed how our praising the God can do. Then my wife told me, hey, this Thursday night, how about let's go to the Zion Church? They are going to have this special meeting. Are you interested? And actually, I wasn't too thrilled, but she urged and insisted, so I just went along. So we went over there. The room was so full. Everybody was waiting upon the Lord, and it was so deadly quiet, and I was not used to that. And later on, when the service started, everybody stood up. They sang the song. They praised the Lord so loud. I was not used to that again. So I just did not open my mouth. I kept my eyes closed without uttering a sound. And all I find is I felt myself very hungry. And so my wife asked me when the service was over, my wife said, what do you feel? How do you feel about it? I said, I don't know. I'm not so sure about it. And she said, how about next week? I said, I don't know. Let's wait until next week. So when next Thursday came up, she said, how about let's go tonight again? And I said, okay, let's go. And so the two of us, we prayed on the way there. And we had a feeling we need to go to the front to join this worshiping in the front, close to the pulpit. So the two of us, we went. Once when I went over there, miracle happened. I felt this indescribable power came down on me. It's so strong. It is so overwhelming. And I was baptized in 1992. All along, I knew I was a sinner because I wasn't. I was far from perfect. So in my intellect, in my mind, I knew I was a sinner. But I never really confessed and never really repented before the Lord. But at that moment, when I was standing up there, the power of the Lord just came on me. It was so overwhelming. The Lord showed me all the bad things I did in my life, one after another, one one after another, all the bad things I did. So I just cried, I cried. I never cried this badly. And later on, Pastor John came on me and laid on her hands on me. And I felt so much warmth. I did not know what was going on. I did not know what happened. All I could say is, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. So it's so miraculous. I was so amazed. I was so shocked. And that night, Pastor John's message was talking about humility. And before the message, one particular sister shared her personal witness how the Lord just healed her skin disease. It was a very bad one, but Lord, through divine healing, just cured her skin disease. And my heart was really struck. My heart was really moved. So I talked to my wife, we really need to learn this lesson. And I remember Pastor John also challenges us. If you really pray to the Lord, you want to learn this lesson, beware. God is going to raise all sorts of situations and environment and circumstances. It will be difficult. It will be very testing. It will be very, very difficult for you. So you will be thrown into the situation so you can learn your lesson because you prayed for it. Then I was determined before the Lord, yes, I wanted it. So I just came to the church every week. I came to the Zion Church. So I started to open my mouth, praise the Lord. I started to enjoy this worship service. So every time when I came here with an empty heart and empty hands, but when I returned home, my spirit, my heart was so full of the love of the Lord. But strangely enough is, the two companies, remember I mentioned before, they just called me for interview, but after their initial call, nothing happened. It was never followed by secondary calls, and it just went dead. So I did not know what happened. I was kind of like puzzled. But during this time, I continued to come to Zion Church to worship. I really enjoyed worship. I really benefited. I was really edified by the messages, by the teachings, by the fellowship within the church. And I just received so many teachings and messages, which is really, really needed badly by my spiritual deficiency. And my wife just support me very strongly. Every time when I felt low, felt down, felt bad, she supported me, she comforted me, she encouraged me. So the two of us, we were still waiting, but we are not waiting with lots of anxiety. And we just peacefully waited for the Lord. But we experienced this God's power, God's love in our family. So our family relationship really warmed up to the love of the Lord. Then one day, all of a sudden, I heard one of my former schoolmates, and he had his degree from UCSF, and right after his graduation, he found a job along the East Coast. So that really just sort of like shocked me. So I just complained to God, God, what happened? How come he is not a Christian? How come he found his job so easily? How about me? What about me? How come I haven't had a job yet? And because of that, our Lord used the sound we sent at the church to comfort me. Because in that sound it said, Lord, you are my comfort. You are my fortress. You are my resource. You are my all. You are my love. Lord, all my hope is in you. So this song really comforted me. Then one night I had this dream. I was carrying my two-year-old son, Jonathan. We were going for a train ride. When I approached to the ticket window, one hand I was holding my son. The other hand was awkward to go through the purchasing process. Then young girl approached me and said, oh, you have a cute son. Can I hold him? So I just gave Jonathan to her. And then I just purchased the tickets. Then when I turned it around, both of them disappeared. I was so frightened. I was terrified. I just raised my head. Lord, where is your righteousness? Where is your loving kindness? Then I just dashed around, tried to look for him. And I could find him nowhere. I was so frustrated. And so I just dashed into the waiting area. All of a sudden, in one of the corners, I found him was frolicking, was playing very happily with a bunch of kids of his same age. Oh, I experienced such a great relief. Then I just said, Lord, you are righteous. Lord, you are full of loving kindness. It's so miraculous. During that particular week, I was the president for our own church's Sunday service. So I was leading this scripture reading. That scripture reading for that particular Sunday is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Oh, when I read this, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. I prayed in my heart because that is the message I needed. That is the message the Lord has prepared for me. Well, that week, May the 13th, one institution in Birmingham called me, hey, are you interested in an interview with us? And I was so happy. I said, oh, of course, I'm greatly interested. So that very day, I just went over there, and I had this visitor's tag, name tag, said number 13. And a receptionist kid with me said, well, looks like you have this number 13. It doesn't sound too good, does it? And I prayed in my heart, I said, Lord, I don't care. Lord, hopefully, I pray through today's interview process, your name be exalted, your name be glorified. So I went into the interview. The interview went smoothly. I just laid out all my situation. I said, I do not want to work overtime. I do not intend to work weekends because I'm heavily involved in the church service. And the interviewer said, okay, that's okay. Every day after 5:15, the company is empty. We never work overtime. I said, oh, that's so great. That works with me nicely. And that finished our interview. I remember right after I got my PhD from Harvard, without asking Lord's guidance and his direction, we just, out of our own will, we just came to the West Coast. So we experienced the difficulties and even painful things. And this time, my wife and I determined to pursue the Lord, to seek for His direction and guidance. So we just pray to God, we want you to give us message. We want you to give us sign, to give us message. Where should we go? Which is our job? And one morning, my wife was reading Joshua chapter 14 and 15. 15 is about the Israelites who are dividing the land of Canaan. And in that chapter, southern. These words were just popping up all the time. So my wife had a feeling, Lord, are you guiding us to way south to Arizona? And later on she read, and when the land extends to the west all the way to coastline, she said, Lord, thank you. Okay, the west is coastline. So you want us to stay in California. That's good. Later on she reads about in the north there's a stream. In the south there's a stream. These two streams is going to fertilize the land, which is divided up among the Israelites. And my wife was so happy, Lord, thank you. Yes, our mother church is in the north, and the Zion church is the south of us. So these two churches, just like two streams, they are just feeding our spiritual need, feeding our spiritual thirst. So my wife got so excited. In the middle of the night, she woke me up and to share with me her understanding of Lord's message. But I was half asleep. I did not even know. I did not understand what was going on, what happened. But anyway, that's how it happened. So the first company offered me, and they said, if in the coming week there was other companies give you offers, please let us know, because we are serious about you. We want to give counter offer and give you all the details, all that. So May the 26th, and nothing happened. And I was about to say, okay, it's easy. Let me talk to the first company. Okay, some company gave me an offer already. But there was a voice in my head, no, do not play tricks. Just trust in the Lord. Just rely on Him only. So I just trust on Him. But when it's May the 26th, I was really started to feel this restlessness inside me. Then by the end of the day, one headhunter called me. Hey, are you still looking for a job? There's one company interested in someone like you. I said, yes, I'm still looking for. Then he said, okay, stay home. Tonight, the president of that company is going to call you. So I just waited that night, and the president called me. The two of us, we talked, and we liked each other. And it seems we talked on the same wavelength. And he was very interested in me going over there for an interview. He said, how about 3 days later, the 29th, to come to our company for an interview? And I said, of course, I will do that. And this ends our conversation. Then right after that, the very next morning, which is the end of the 2 week period, so I called a company A, which is number one company. I said, well, like you said, another company gave me offer. Since you told me to tell you if that happened, that's what exactly happened last night. And that, so the guy just said, okay, if that's the case, come. On 29th, let's go through the second interview. So in the morning on the 29th, I went to the first company. We went through all the details. Then in the afternoon, I went to the Burlingame company for that company's interview. I really, really just felt Lord's hand is in this whole thing, in this whole scenario, because Lord's providence, it's so evident. And I still remember Lord's graces, Lord's blessings, Lord's love, Lord's abundance, I really experienced it. Even though I haven't seen it yet, my heart was really touched. So that Thursday night, we just came to Zion Church again. Then before the service, Pastor John all of a sudden turned ahead and said, hey, you guys, how about join the Tuesday night's Burlingame neighborhood group? And that will be very good for you. Then all of a sudden, my heart clicked. Yes, Lord, I thank you, because one more time you gave me this message. Burlingame is a good place. Burlingame is the direction you want us to go. So then I went to the Burlingame company interview. And when we went through the benefits package, the salary package, all the work schedule, all that nitty-gritty detail, and despite the fact that this Burlingame company's salary offer was lower than the first company, but I found everything else fits so nicely. It works nicely with my service in the church. So I ended up choosing the Burlingame company. And through this job hunting pursuit, these efforts, I really, really relied on God. And it's the first time I really experienced our God is a true and a living God. Our God is an abundant God. Our God is full of loving kindness. And He is so gentle to me. And He is so good to me. Our God is good. So I really need to look up to Him. Just like when I come to the church, I saw this cross. And beside it, these are few characters, look up to God. It's not only my motto. Hopefully, it's the motto of each and every one of you. Thank you, everyone. The following is Pastor John's message. Thank you, Lord. Our God is really a faithful God. And we all have just heard Sao Yang's testimony. It just really kind of reminded me, he is a relatively new Christian. He is just into this practice of inner life. As you go along, as you go deeper and deeper into this practice, you really need to trust in the Lord, regardless of your environment, regardless of your situations, regardless of whatever kind of things you are encountering, you are facing in your life. And just turn your back on these, ignore these, particularly when these things are negative, when these things turn just rough and bad. We need to trust our Lord. We need to have a complete trust in the Lord. Before the Lord has shown us His wonderful plan, we need to praise Him. We need to thank Him for these things we haven't seen yet, for these things we haven't received yet. And through doing this, you and I can really develop this quality of trust. We can develop our faith, and our faith will really grow, and we can really develop this quality of humility. So when we talk about inner life is not something we talk about. Inner life is something we need to practice. We need to exercise. So hopefully we will not be like Xiaoyang's dream. As soon as he realized his son is God, he just complained to God, Lord, where is your righteousness? Lord, where is your loving kindness? Hopefully we will not be like that. So the important thing is, in our spirit, do we have this unconditional trust in the Lord? That's the issue. That's the point. So we have already talked about 8 times about humility. Today it's the 9th time. Today let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? He has not my hand made all these things, and so they come into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. Here the Lord says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. But I'm looking for a resting place. Where will my resting place be? God is looking for his personal resting place. He is looking for these people. This is the one I esteem. He who is a humble and a contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. This is the kind of person God wants to dwell. God wants to live in the heart of this kind of people. This is the kind of people God will find his resting place, his ultimate resting place. So when we talk about humility, a humble person is a person who trembles at the word of God. So when we're talking about our God is a humble king. A king wants to live in the heart of a humble person, wants to live in the heart of a person who just trembles at the word of God. Like the servant of God, Dirk, when he went to Nepal, so when he just stood up and he gave a message, when he finished his message, he hadn't even started to call on the congregation. When he just spoke these words, Lord really used his message. His message is really used by the Lord. So the word of God really pierced through the hearts of the congregation. All these people, their hearts melted. Their hearts changed. So they were filled by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Lord. But it's not a condition here in the U.S. though. Particularly in North America, most of us, we Chinese here, we are just scientists or engineers. We are very intellectual. We are very rational. And I remember that after a few years when I came here, some people shared with me, when I first started to come to this church and to preach my message, and these engineer scientists are sitting on me, is that true? Do we really need to do that? Is that a must? Don't you think it's a little bit too much? Don't you think it is overkill? Do we really need to do that to come close to the Lord? See, this is the heart of scientists. This is the attitude of engineers. So because these people think, why should I be filled with the Holy Spirit? I think I'm being just a Christian, a very reserved, as a conservative Christian. What's wrong with that? Okay, you guys open your mouth, praise the Lord. I just praise the Lord in my heart. What's wrong with that? So all these scientists and engineers, they have their own way of thinking. They have their own way of doing things. They have their own thoughts. They do not want to humble. They do not want to submit themselves to these teachings. There's this sister Ming Wen, and she told me that back in Taiwan, she was in the process of learning English. And she kind of like rebelled. Well, the school wanted me to learn English. Why should I? And nobody is using English anyway. We are all talking about Taiwanese or Mandarin. And why should I just learn English? And a particular conversation in English, it's useless. And around me, look at people, 100,000 people around me, who uses English anyway? And later on, when she came to the U.S., once when she stepped down English, she was so shocked. She was so surprised. Oh, really? It is reality because everybody here is speaking English. English is a spoken language. English is a language which is used. Oh, that really shocked her. But it's already too late because she wasted so much time now. So after she came here, she struggled. She struggled for years and years with her language skill. Later on, she became a Christian. She read about the story about Thomas. Thomas is a suspicious Thomas, and Thomas did not want to believe Jesus really rose from the dead. He just simply could not believe it. And in one thought, Thomas was right. Thomas was right. And she thought, if I were him, I would do the same, because I'm a scientist, because I have an engineering background. I have to be very practical. I have to really stick to the fact, to all the things I have seen. And not until later on, she also started practicing this inner life. Then she started to realize, for those who had not believed, who had not seen, but believed, those are people who are blessed. That's a message from the Lord. If for these people, they simply believe, they simply trust in Jesus, whatever the message is given in the Bible, they simply just go ahead and take it word for word and believe it. These are the people who are blessed. That's why for scientists and engineers in the spiritual realm, for these people, it takes longer time. It seems the road, the spiritual growth, the road, the path for these people seems more bumpier than simple-hearted people, than pure-hearted people. So that's why here it says, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. So for those pure in heart, for those simple-hearted people, they tremble at the word of God. And these are the people, they are blessed. These are the people our Lord wants to live in the heart of these people. Our Lord wants to keep his resting place in the heart of these people. Another sister, she just came to the U.S. and for a year and a half, she did not have a job. And she simply trusted the Lord. She put her unconditional trust in the Lord. And she prayed to the Lord, since you haven't given me a job, and it must be the case you want me to come close to you. You want me to draw near you. You want me to spend more time in privacy with you. You want me to shut in with you, because everything you work for the benefits for me, for the benefits of your loved ones, since I'm your loved ones, so I have nothing to worry about, because I know you are in control of tomorrow. Why should I worry? Why should I be frustrated? Why should I be concerned? So even her mother said, well, you go to the church all the time. You think you go to church all the time, and the church is going to give you a job? God is going to give you a job? And she simply obeyed. She simply trusted in the Lord. Later on, she got a traffic ticket, and a ticket is very expensive, over $200. And even after that, you know what? She even praised God for that. Lord, I know this is a very costly ticket. I cannot pay it. Lord, I praise you for that. Lord, I thank you for that. There must be your plan. It is in your plan. Everything is in your plan. I just thank you for that. Then shortly before the cutoff line, shortly before the deadline, all of a sudden, she received one card in the mail from nowhere. In the card said, God is the provider. God is supplier. And in the card, she also received a check of $200-somewhat, which just covers their traffic ticket. See? For these people, if they tremble at the word of God, tremble at the word of God, which means take the word of God literally, take the word of God seriously. Just remember, put the word of God in their heart, in their mind, in their soul. Whatever God says, they just accept it. Whatever God says, they just receive it as is. They never explain it down. They never wash the word of God down. So shortly before the sister landed on the job, God just told her very clearly, I am going to give a job. Now it's ready. Now the job is ready. Now you are ready. So God even told her before she got a job. See, this is another seminary. She really went through a seminary, a spiritual seminary. So she really learned the theology in her spirit. God really taught her himself. So it is not through what you see, not through what you feel, not through what you experience you believe the word of God, but it is just through the word of God you believe it. You believe the word of God for what it is. That's what we talk about, trembles at my word. Our God is faithful. Brothers and sisters, believe me, our God is faithful. For that sister, for a year and a half, she did not have a job. But she never frustrated. She never just vented anger or anything. She just praised God. But she made good use of the year and a half. She came to L.A. and she came to our church to help out in just arranging all the cassette tapes. Because of that, she had a close access to these tapes. She listened to all these tapes and she learned so much. And her spiritual life was really nurtured. See, all this just tells us God's plan is miraculous. God's plan is always beyond our wildest imagination. God's plan is wonderful, is wondrous. So we need to unconditionally believe in God. We need to tremble at the word of God. I just wonder if that's what you do, if that's your attitude before the word of God. The Bible says, rejoice. Rejoice before the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You guys, go ahead and rejoice. Be happy. Like one sister, sometimes she woke up during the night. All of a sudden she found her heart was heavily laden. Her heart was a burden. She couldn't experience any joy. She couldn't experience any just a happiness. And she realized that's the darkness in her heart. She was her heart was overcast. So she just was determined to fight against it. She prayed to God, God, I want to enjoy your happiness from you. I want to enjoy your joy. Lord, give me your joy. Lord, help me to rejoice in you, to rejoice before you. Lord, I want to struggle. I want to fight a good fight. And a little sister, oftentimes she searched her own heart. She just examined them. Lord, I know. I realized so clearly I did not love you. I just do not love you enough. Lord, how? How can I love you more? Lord, I'm desperate. Lord, I'm just doomed. I don't know what to do about myself. Lord, I want to love you more. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me to love you more. She was so frustrated. She cried. She cried because she did not love Lord enough. See, this is the attitude. This is the heart. This is the heart which is open to the Lord all the time. This is what you and I need. So our little sister said, I just trust in the Lord. I never worry about tomorrow. I did not dare to worry about tomorrow. Why? Because once I worry, I know the faith in me just decreased. The faith in me is just disappeared. The faith in me just went out of my window. Remember the great city of Nineveh. This nation, this people, they are not believers of God. And this is a very sinful, very evil nation and evil people. But remember when Noah just went over, just give the warning from God. But from king to the lowest people in the country, they all just repented. They just humbled themselves. They fasted. They humbled. They repented. And once when they have this humble attitude, when they show their humility, God relented his wrath. Remember? That's an important lesson for all of us to learn. Oftentimes, we Christians at the church, oh, this message, not again, Pastor, Sunday morning service, you are just giving this message. All these I've heard a long time. I've heard these numerous times. I can even maybe talk a little bit about these things myself. This is a pride, very proud attitude. This is the heart of pride, which is the spirit of pride. This is the opposite of the attitude to tremble at the word of God. So let me emphasize one more time. A humble person is a person who trembles at the word of God. When we talk about humble person, a person trembles at the word of God. It's not a person who is always shivering, is always frightened, terrified before God. No, it's not. It is a reverent person. A person shows the deepest reverence, the deepest respect for the Lord, for the Word of God. Then this is a person who trembles at the Word of God. Then this person will be a very cautious person. This is a person who will be always on his or her guard. And this is the person who will guard against himself, or against herself. He or she will be very careful, will never give any chances, open a crack of opportunity to his own natural self. Or sometimes we Christians feel, okay, these days everything is so smooth, and I feel so life is easy, life is smooth, life is so rosy. Then, brothers and sisters, we need to be careful. We are not on guard anymore. We are not being watchful anymore. We need to be very careful, very cautious every single day of our lives. We need to tremble at the word of God. So particularly for those of us, we are leaders of the church. We lead a Bible study. We lead the cell groups. We just share testimony with the congregation. We even stand up on the podium to give a speech or two. For the leaders of the church, we are specifically required to be careful, required to be watchful, to search our hearts. Are we still a humble person? Do we still tremble at the word of God? Or just the opposite? Okay, I'm okay. I can handle this. I can handle that. Okay, this task is a piece of cake. Brothers and sisters, be always on guard against such attitude. One servant of God, when he was invited to lead a series of meetings of a given church, and he was very careful, and he was very humble before God. He prayed to God for guidance, for wisdom, for inspiration. Then the Lord really used him. The Holy Spirit touched the congregation, and the result was very good. So on his way back on the bus, he said, well, maybe next time it will be much easier for me. Then all of a sudden, in a split second, Lord just reminded him, watch out. Once when you are loose, once when you are off your guard, you will lose the power of the Spirit. I have the same kind of feeling and same kind of experiences. No matter wherever I go, or I just serve in my own church, every time before Sunday message or Monday message or Thursday message, I need to pray before God so earnestly, so carefully, so continuously. And sometimes God give me word even way ahead of time, but I still need to be careful. Once I say, okay, I have this message, Lord, thank you, then I just feel so confident, feel so self-assured. Then when times come up, when I stand up to speak the message, when I just deliver the message, I find the message is powerless. The message is powerless. But only when I humble myself, up to the very second before I stand up to the podium, I need to rely on Him. I need to tremble at His word. I need to humble myself every single moment in my intellect, in my spirit. Then when I stand up on a pulpit, it's a different scenario. Let's look at Daniel. Let's look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. Daniel 9, verses 2 and 3. The first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and a petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. So here, Daniel learned the word from the book. So the isolation, the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. He knew that at the end of 70 years, they will return to Jerusalem. So that's why he said, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and a petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. Because just the word in the Bible said it, because in the book it said it, Daniel trembled himself at the word of God. So that's how he behaved. He just fasted, he prayed, he petitioned, and in sackcloth and ashes. This is Daniel's humble attitude, which is manifested here. So, brothers and sisters, God promised us, you prayed, you will get it. If you ask, you will get it. But only when we are just wholeheartedly praying for it, only when we just search for Him, we are seeking Him out, when we just humble ourselves before Him. When Anton Moltz, pastor, told by God, go up the mountains and look for me, search for me. So he just went up the mountain. He searched for God. And God laid out on me, go to South Korea to join a mountain of prayer. He just went over there. He just left his church and he went. He didn't care what other people just say about him, what other people's criticism or words or comments. He just followed the word of God literally. But he can also just struggle. He can also ignore. He can also say, well, Lord, I do not have the money. Lord, how can I go? Lord, I have my own church to serve. He can find hundreds of excuses. Then, brothers and sisters, if he does that, he will not experience the presence of the Lord. He will not experience the abundance, the richness of the Lord. So, Lord, we just pray. You just help us. So we will not be a proud person. Instead, we will all will be humble person. So we will not only pray to you, so everything, Lord, just work according to our plan. This is a proud person. Lord, we do not want to be this person. Lord, help us to be a humble person. Lord, we want to do according to your plan, according to your will. Thy will be done, not mine. So, brothers and sisters, let's be a humble person. God's will be done, will be accomplished only through a group of humble Christians, a group of people who tremble at the word of God. Remember Psalm 149, verse 1. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in assembly of the saints. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in assembly of the saints. Says we need to praise Him in the assembly of the saints. We need to sing a new song to our Lord. We need to praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Lord. Brothers and sisters, let's come up. Let's praise Him. Praise Him in the assembly of saints. Well, this is a very familiar verse. So many Christians have read this verse many times, have heard this many times, but some of them just simply refuse to open their mouth to praise. They simply do not want to open their mouth to praise the Lord. Why? Because these are the Christians with a proud spirit. They do not want to humble themselves. They do not want to humble their own identity, their own self, to praise the Lord. You know what? To praise the Lord is one manifestation of a person's humility before the Lord. Because our God is worthy of the praises of the whole universe. So you and I, we are a small Christian. We are just a small creation. So we need to come before the Lord to praise Him, to exalt His name, to glorify His name. We need to rejoice before Him, rejoice in the Lord's name. But oftentimes, we will only feel encouraged. We will only feel happy when our plan is accomplished, when our plan is fulfilled. But here, Bible teaches we need to rejoice in the Lord. We will be happy for the Lord, for the work of the Lord accomplished on this earth. That's what you and I need to do. We need to rejoice in the Lord, rejoice before the Lord. Fellow Christians, let's rejoice in the Lord. Well, remember the brother before, just a couple minutes back, he shared with us the very first time when he stood up, opened his mouth, praised his Lord aloud. Immediately, the Spirit of the Lord just descended on him. He was enwrapped by the warmth of this Spirit, the power of this Spirit. This is just one instance. A lot of brothers and sisters in our very own church, you can all come up here, share your personal testimony. How come? Once when you have this humble spirit, so when some Christians in our church, when they stand in the front, close to the stage, when they're standing up there, raising their hands, singing songs and praising their Lord and praying to the Lord very loudly, and the Holy Spirit descending upon him, the power of the Spirit is so strong, the power of the Spirit is so influential, so overwhelming, and a few brothers and sisters, they cannot even just sit down. They wanted to sit down, but they cannot, because the power is so strong. They are so overtaken by the power. So it's God's will. He wants us, He desires us to praise Him, to come to close to Him, to sing our praises loud to God, Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, if you and I, we come to the Lord, do this all the time, do this continually, you will never harbor any bitterness. You will never experience pain, lasting pain in your heart, because all these things will be washed away, will be driven out by our praising the Lord, our voice of praising, our song of praises. In Daniel chapter 5, verses 20 through 22, it talks about this particular king, Belshazzar. And Belshazzar is the king. It says, his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride. He was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. This particular king, he saw this vision because he saw the fingers of men was writing on the wall, and he was frightened. His knees were just beating against each other. He was so terrified. So all of a sudden he remembered Daniel has the spirit of God inside him. So he had a man called Daniel to explain the whole scenario for him. Like we just read before, when his heart was arrogant, was not humble, so he was driven out until he humbled himself. And here Daniel was talking to the son, that's your father, but you did not give the glory to God. So in verse 26 through 30, it says, this is what these words mean. Many, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighted on the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then, at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple. A gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. Here we have this scenario. Belshazzar was very terrified, and he just called Daniel over to explain this whole thing. And Daniel did explain everything for him. So Belshazzar just clothed him in purple, gave him all the rewards, but did he humble himself before God? No, he did not. He is a proud person. And even though he was terrified, even though Daniel explained everything for him, he still failed to humble himself before God. He did not learn his lesson. He did not just heed the message. Oftentimes, we Christians are like King Belshazzar. We are just like him. We have heard the message. We have witnessed the wondrous work of God in our midst. And we have read all the teachings in the Bible. We have read so many Psalms, which is, the message of the God is, we need to praise God. We even experience the presence of the Lord himself in our midst, in our church, in our works, but we still fail to humble ourselves before God. Isn't that sometimes the scenario with yours and mine? Sometimes when we are teaching or when we are sharing messages, some Christians, they are mumbling in their heart, oh, I know this. This is Psalm so-and-so, verse so-and-so. I already know this. I'm so familiar with some of them. I can even remember myself, all that. These people, they know the message, but they do not practice. They do not heed the message. They do not follow the guidance. They did not put the teachings into their daily lives practice. We still probably remember, right? We all remember, right? Remember the Hebrew when they were in the wilderness, when they were led by Moses, they were wandering around in the deserts. Once they complained, they all died. They all perished in the desert. Isn't that a lesson for you and I? Let's look at Numbers chapter 20, verse 8 through 12. Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out. Here it says, Moses raised his arm and struck the rock, and the water gushed out. But look here, pay attention. Here, God said to Moses, speak to that rock. Speak to that rock. Do not strike the rock. God did not say, go ahead and strike the rock. This is only one time Moses rebelled. Moses failed to follow the instructions, failed to follow the guidance, the directives from the Lord, he was stripped of the chance to enter land of Canaan. That's a very, very pricey lesson. It's a very, very expensive lesson to learn. Why? We can all witness. It is a shame. Right over here, Moses was so stirred. Moses was so bothered by the Hebrew nation, by the Hebrew people, because these people were urging him. These people were bothering him. These people were grumbling and rumbling, complaining against him. So he was really stirred. So brothers and sisters, be very careful. Do not be stirred. Be on guard not to be stirred. So oftentimes in office we can be stirred by our boss, or at home we can be bothered, we can be aggravated by our children. So Christian brothers and sisters, be careful, be careful. Just on guard, do not be aggravated, do not be stirred by the people around you, because God has this reward waiting for you to catch, waiting for you to receive. So brothers and sisters, every single day, you and I need to be very careful. What did God say to you? What does God tell you? What does God tell me? What is His message for you for today? What is His message for me for today? Oftentimes, God just gave us a message through other Christian fellow Christians, from another brother, from another sister in the church. So we really need to be careful. We really need to have this spirit of humility before the God. So we can be cautious. We can have a listening ear. We can have a pair of attentive ears before God. So oftentimes we Christians are so good with Bible study. And we know how to use the toolbox. We know how to use the concordance, all that. We will be very good Bible study leaders, all that. But we miss the major point, which is we do not heed the message in the Bible. We do not listen carefully what God has for us. We did not heed the message in the Bible, which is directed for us. So we can have a really dried up spiritual life, even though we are very well versed with the biblical knowledge. So God's Spirit is abundant. God's Spirit is powerful. God's Spirit is limitless. But do you and I, are you and I drawing upon the limitless resource? Are we really connected to God's power? So brothers and sisters, if you and I do not have a humble spirit, we do not have the spirit of humility, we cannot withdraw upon the abundance of the Lord. There was this pastor. He shared with me, oftentimes Christians just go to him and ask some obvious questions. The teaching, the principle is so obvious in the Bible. Like one brother just goes to him, asks him, said, well, can I marry this non-Christian? So he just replied, this pastor replied, why do you ask me? All this is laid out very clearly in the Bible. You are the believer and she is a non-believer. You guys cannot be under the same yoke. That's the teaching of the Bible. Why are you bothering to come to me to even ask these questions? You just go to the Bible, ask the Bible, ask the question to the Lord. The Lord has the answer to you. The answer is in the Bible. Go ahead, read your Bible. Do not come to me with this question. See? This is another example. This Christian does not tremble at the Word of God. It's not a case he does not know the Word of God. He knew very well. The only thing is he fails to tremble at the Word of God. Remember in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9, Genesis 39 verse 9, it says, No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and a sin against God? How then could I do such a wicked thing and a sin against God? That's what Joseph said. Joseph didn't say sin against his master. He said against his God. That's a major difference. Pay attention to this, brothers and sisters. He did not say he sinned against his master, but he said, how could I sin against God? So Joseph is a person who trembles at the word of God. Joseph is a person who revered God, who feared God. This is the greatest manifestation. This really should show you and me an example how a person who just heed message from the Bible, who just listens very attentively to the word of God and put it into his personal life. Oftentimes we have seen so many sad examples. So many servants of God, they are very much blessed by God, and God gave them great talents, and they became more and more famous, and the power became greater and greater. Then finally, they fell. Finally, corruption crept in, all that. Why? Because once when they just started to sin in small areas, in small things, and God's message is still just reached their heart. God talks to them, but they refuse to heed to the message. They refuse to listen to the message. They fail to tremble at the word of God. Then their sin just snowballed. And finally they fell. And they fell very badly, very miserably. So, brothers and sisters, we all need to be very careful. We need to ask the Lord to shed his light into our spirit so we can really have this right attitude before him. There was this sister, 2 weeks before the winter retreat, and she had a very good personal relationship with God, and in her daily devotional time, she really had a very close relationship with God. She asked the Lord to shed his light into her heart, and the Lord really enlightened her, and she so had a very sensitive, a close relationship, very intimate relationship with the Lord. When she just went to this winter retreat, the power of the Spirit just became stronger and stronger in her. So she was really revealed by the Lord all the areas she needs to work on, all the areas that she failed, all the areas she was short of the glory of God. She was short of the blessings of the Lord. And so she really repented before the Lord. All of a sudden she felt she just slighted so many people. She just shortchanged her family members. She mistreated fellow Christians, her office workers, all that. And the Lord just reminded her one important message, which is in the Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. So this message, these two verses, really drives home in the heart of this sister. So she really repented. She really felt very bad because she did not respect her parents enough. She really repented. She really confessed her sins in the Lord. So the Holy Spirit really just filled her. And she experienced the great presence and great power of the Holy Spirit. So brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful. We need to humble ourselves. We need to be careful how we interact with our pastor. We need to interact with our pastor respectfully. Also, we need to respect our co-workers. We need to pay respect to our Sunday school teachers. when you pay respect to our church leaders, we really need to pray to God so He will give us this heart. We will tremble at the word of the Lord. We not only need to respect the church leaders, we need to respect the pastors. We need to submit ourselves to their leadership. We need to obey their guidance, their direction. So in today's churches, so many Christians, they do not have a right heart before the Lord. They do not have this humble attitude, not only before the Lord, they also lack the humble attitude before their fellow Christians, before other people, before their family members. If you and I really have the right heart before the Lord, we have the right attitude, which is to tremble at the word of God. If we really revere our Lord, we really fear our Lord, we really come before the Lord and tremble at the word of Him, then we will really be very careful about our words. We will not be very quick to jump to conclusions. We will not be quick to criticize. We will not be rapid, just rush into commenting on people, particularly those negative comments. So brothers and sisters, you and I really need to come before the Lord. We need to enter into the inner chamber to pray to God, Lord, just give me this heart, so I will tremble at your word. Remember a while back when I talked about when my sermons were centered in the book of Ephesians, I talked about the building of the words and the breakdown of the words. When we talk about these, and I remember the congregation in the church, most people are very careful about words. That's good. That's good. But after a while, when the topic is over, when these meetings are over, gradually people are loosening up with their words, and they forget about all the lessons they learned. They'll just attitude changed again. They are just loose with their words. They are just careless with their words now. And gradually we become like those Hebrew people in the wilderness. Who cares? I'm so thirsty. I need water. I want to eat meat. We are just like these Hebrew people. Remember the lesson of them. These people, when they complained, when they grumbled against the Lord, they perished. They perished in the deserts. They did not get to enter the land of Canaan, which is the land of the promised land. That's a promised land. That's a land of milk and honey. Remember this heavy, deep lesson. But also at the same time, remember the lesson you and I can draw upon, which is from the example of Joshua and Samuel. The two of them, they never gave up. They never gave up. They never gave in to the people's complaints and grumbling. When they were facing the Anakites, these two people said, let's march forward, let's march ahead, let's fight these giants, because we have our Lord who supports us. We have our Lord behind us. We do not need to tremble. We do not need to be afraid. That's why the Lord wants to find an ultimate, permanent resting place in the heart of those people who tremble at the word of God. Brothers and sisters, let's all remember this message. Let's all remember this lesson. Let's all remember these words of God, so we can really come to the Lord. We can confess, Lord, I never have this attitude. Lord, I never come before you to really repent, to really confess, to confess my sins, to confess my wrong attitude, to confess my wrong heart. Lord, give me this new heart. Lord, help me so I will have a right heart before you, so I will have the spirit of humility. I will have a humble heart. I will become a humble person before you. Let's sing a hymn. Here terminates the message of Pastor John.